Ezra chapter 9. The title of the lesson this morning is A Space of Grace. Now, many years before Ezra was born, Israel had been carried away into captivity in Babylon because of their sin. And even before they went into captivity, many years before they went into captivity, God told them they would go into captivity. And He showed us His purpose of grace for His people. Before they were carried away captive, God told them that He had an appointed time He would deliver them from that captivity. He had an appointed time for them. They would be carried away captive, and they would return to Jerusalem, and they would rebuild the temple, and they would restore worship. Hold your finger there. Look in Isaiah chapter 44. God had an appointed time, and He had an appointed deliverer who would come and deliver Israel, send them back to Jerusalem. And that deliverer was King Cyrus. Isaiah 44, verse 28. That saith of Cyrus, He's my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Now that was written 200 years before Cyrus was even king, before he was even born. And sure enough, Cyrus became king of Persia, and he came and conquered the Babylonian Empire while Israel was in bondage in Babylon. And after he conquered them, somebody brought the word of God, read Isaiah chapter 44 and 45 to him, and lo and behold, there was his name. God's prophet came with the word of God, and there was a message for Cyrus. Can you imagine? And Cyrus did what the word of God told him to do. In Ezra chapter 1, Cyrus issued a proclamation, told all the Jews they'd go home if they wanted to. All you Jews, you just go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple if you want to. And Cyrus said, I'll even help pay for the building. And he took all those vessels that many, many years ago had been taken from the temple, gave them back to the Jews, and said, you take those back and you rebuild the temple. Now, you and I this morning are not going to find our given name here in the Word of God. But I pray God would let us see a message from Him to us from His Word this morning, and that God would give us the faith to believe it and to obey it. Now, when Cyrus told the Jews they could go back and rebuild that temple, you want me to tell you what happened? You can read it as you read through the book of Ezra. Almost nobody went. Cyrus said, go back and rebuild the temple. Go back to your land, rebuild the temple if you want to. There are over 3 million Jews in captivity in Babylon. Less than 45,000 went back. Just almost nobody. And about 80 years later, there was another departure from Babylon back to Jerusalem. You know how many people went then? About 2,000. Almost nobody went back to Jerusalem. Well, why? Here they are in this land of captivity. Why wouldn't they go back to their land and rebuild the temple and worship the Lord? Because while they were in captivity, the Jews began to like the Babylonian way of life. They became businessmen and bankers and teachers and political figures and shopkeepers, you know. And they liked it there in their land of captivity. Now, that's a picture of all of us by nature. We've left God. We've been carried away captive by sin. And because we have a sin nature, we like it there. We like it. You know, the Jews, when they went to Babylon, their nature didn't change. No, their nature was revealed there. And they liked it. Just like you and I, we like it in sin. And we won't leave that kingdom of darkness unless God takes us out. The Jews had fallen into a spiritual stupor. They lost the worship of the Lord. They lost the reverence of the Lord, the awe of the Lord. And yet, even a believer, I know most of Israel was, they didn't know the Lord. They weren't believers. But, you know, even a believer can fall into that spiritual stupor. We saw that in Song of Solomon, didn't we? We can lose the sweetness of the worship of the Lord. We can lose that enjoyment of His presence. Well, how does that happen? What happens when we feed that old man and we don't feed the new man? When we start hanging out with the people of the world and start getting caught up in their ways, we start acting like them. Evil communications corrupt good manners every time. It never works the other way around. Evil communications corrupts good manners every time. And that just shows us how we need God's grace. We are totally dependent upon God's grace. We need God's grace to elect us. We need God's grace to forgive us of our sins. We need God's grace to cleanse us in the blood of Christ. We need God's grace to call us out of darkness into light. And we need God's grace to give us faith in Christ. We must have God's grace to save our sinful soul. But you know, a believer never loses that dependence on God's grace, do we? We need God's grace to keep us. We need God's grace to keep Dale just prayed about. And all the evil in our own heart. Of Ezra chapter 9, here's some evidences of what we need. We need God's saving keeper. Verse 1 of Ezra chapter 9. Now when these things were done, the princes have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations. And the Ammonites and the Moabites and the Egyptians and the Amorites. Why nobody would want to come back to the worship of the Lord? It's because they're acting like the rest. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we've forsaken thy command, to which you go to possess it, is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the land. And God's commandment to Israel was, don't you act like them. Don't you mix in with them. And every believer here knows this can happen with God. And I know why we do it. You know why? Because we've got the same. There's a new man born. He's a holy man. Righteous man, a man that loves God, that loves, he's not changed in the least when God saves us. We've got as much as it ever did. But now listen to me. That does, not in nature, that does nothing but sin. Most often, and it utterly shocks me how I can be reading the word sinful. Does sin is ever present with me? Well, I've got the same desire, the same nature as every other heathen in this world, but that don't work. Does not mean we have to act like it. Nothing is more unbecoming to a believer. Look, I'll show you this in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. This is Paul's instruction to this preacher, Titus, reading in verse 11 of Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this praying of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, the people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort. Well, it teaches us salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, doesn't it? In this present world, God's grace teaches us a holy walk. God's grace teaches humility and serving others, which is constant. That they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be, since it teaches an attitude of humility and serving one another. That's contrary to this world, isn't it? No ye nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, such, but now you've been washed in the blood. Now don't give in to it. Instead of living for the things of this world, common with them. And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with? And I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from anybody in the world. You know, we work with people. We talk with people. This is how we witness to people. But Ephesians 5, verse 1. The way of this world. Hatred. God says, now as his children, don't. But rather, giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes in darkness. One more scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received, every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. I mean, you ought to do it. You know, just don't be always insisting on my rights and my ways. 7. 4.
God hath not called us unto uncleanness.
God's grace, His saving, keeping grace is going to have an effect on that. We'll disobey God and leave Him every time if He leaves us to ourselves.
Verse 2. You know, the princes and rulers have been chiefing this, I tell you often, every time. There's children of Israel, when you go into the promised land now, don't you marry those heathen. There's all these heathen nations. Or give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, seeing that thou, our God, has punished us less than our iniquities deserve.
Same thing applies to us. God's been so good to us.
Now, He chastises His children, but you've got... And we tell our young people that all the time. We tell them all the time, don't you marry. Don't tell your daughter to tell her boyfriend, or your son tell you. Men are famous for this. They'll do anything to get the girl. They'll do any willingness or a desire to go to the worship service. It was given to me, I'll give it to you. Don't tell them, I'll let you marry my daughter if you make... That's the best you can... get from them. Just wait and watch. And I can't tell you what a blessing it is for me to be able to talk to my wife and we talk a strong, happy marriage. But otherwise, tell you what's going to happen. There's going to be unbeliever. Got one heart. It's hard. It's unrepentant. It's your spiritual life. And Ezra says, we've done these things. It's no wonder there's no worship of the Lord.
Nobody
off the hair of my head and my beard. He didn't cut it off. He didn't shave his head. He said, I plucked it out. Astonished until the evening sacrifice. Now, Ezra was grieved. Ezra so much was the spiritual state that Israel had fallen into. They didn't follow him. Look at Ezra 7 verse 10. For Ezra of the Lord is the word of God. And to teach people what God's word says. How it points.
Have you ever found yourself in that situation?
Now, I'm not talking about it. What's the solution to it? What's the solution to that cold, dead, that evening sacrifice? The sacrifice that pictured our Lord Jesus Christ as my heaviness. And having rent my garment, my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in great trespass unto this day. This is Ezra's great prayer of repentance. And he begins by saying, notice how Ezra's prayer is here. He says, I'm ashamed. All suffering. Now, he said, our trespass has grown up into heaven. It, true repentance never talks about somebody else's sin. And Ezra said, we won't wonder what's going on anymore. We'll repent. We'll mourn. We'll be so ashamed of our sin. Sin in me will... And he begged for mercy. And if you and I ever see Christ, we'll do the exact price and give us a little reviving in our bondage. He's given us a space for grace. He's given us a little moment of grace in this day. Don't wait till tomorrow. Today's the day of grace. And here's to all sinners to see whether or not they'll accept Him or reject Him. No, God is elect. Ezra says here, you've given us this grace, a space of grace. 2 verse 1. God is according to truth and against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou that, well, it's only by God's grace. And that's the only way we'll escape. The Father, how shall we escape? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest it, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him.
But if God has been gracious to us, if He set His grace on us, we must escape Christ. He nails our feet to Christ the solid rock, so that we'll say with David, constant, sure abode. No matter what we fall into, those times we fall into 6, verse 19 says this, we have an anchor of the soul, this boat always, surely, completely accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, but in grace, God gives the new birth. He gives us new eyes to see. They don't see their need. They don't see. But if you see a little reviving, Ezra says, in our bondage,
We get bogged down in it. You got to go out there and work in the world. You got to interact in the world and you go through it.
It's enough to get you through to Wednesday.
And Wednesday you come back, you get a little reviving. You get a little refreshing. You give a little reviving in this bondage out of the kings of Persia. To give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair
just up to the heavens. You just stack it up on top of it. Go clear it up into the heavens
this afternoon. As Ezra is a type of Christ. Ezra makes this great prayer of repentance.
He was astonished, wasn't he? Until when? The time of the evening.
Now he was given to the sword of justice of his father. You read that this afternoon. You'll see it.